When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses.
Hey, yo, Apes, you killed this. Hey, we back in this bitch. I feel good. I think I finally don't need you no more. I'm back in bed, don't gotta sleep on the floor. Don't think about it, I don't cry anymore. I'm done expecting you, I'm locking my door. I guess I'm over you, but that's what you want, yeah. It ain't anxiety, was all you in my head. I put the bottle down, stop taking all my mess. I'm thinking good, girl, I'm keeping my mind fed. I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck now. Say you can lick all my sacks, suck my nuts now. That ain't a fossil, oh bitch, it's a bust down. I feel alright, it go like the sundown. I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck. Say you can lick all my sex, suck my nuts now. That ain't a fossil, oh bitch, it's a bust down. I feel alright, it ain't dark like the sun down.
I heard you been around that way, thinking about her every damn day. What you wanna do with me now? I think you gotta figure it out. I've been trying to see you through. Baby, I'm in love with you. I think we gotta work it out. I'm hurt you're not around.
I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck now. Say you can lick all my sacks, suck my nuts now. That ain't a fossil, oh bitch, it's a bust down. I feel alright, ain't dark like the sundown. I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck now. Say you can lick all my sacks, suck my nuts now. That ain't a fossil, oh bitch, it's a bust down. I feel alright, it ain't dark like the sundown. I think I finally don't need you no more.
Thinking about her every damn day.
Don't think about it, I don't cry anymore.
Think you gotta figure it out.
I guess I'm over you, but that's what you want. Yeah. It ain't anxiety, was all you in my head.
I think we gotta work it out. I'm hurt, you're not around.
I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck now. Say you can lick all my sacks, suck my nuts now. That ain't a fossil, oh bitch, it's a bust down. I feel alright, ain't dark like the sundown. I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck.
sundown.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. It's Friday, which means This Week in Bachelor Nation, which also means you just heard Daisy's
song
with, I don't even know who did the song. Who do you know who the guy is in the song?
We should give the credit where the credit is due. Clues and I listened to the song over and over again, and I thought that he had said "lick my sex," and I was like, "Oh, that's kind of poetic." But I think it was sack.
Yeah.
But very jarring. You don't expect that from from a Daisy music video. And my favorite comment is, "This is not giving Lil Red Truck hauling a Christmas tree."
I think I'm better and I don't give a fuck now. Well, congratulations to Daisy. Congratulations to this guy whose name had a dollar sign in it, but I can't remember the full name now. This video has been making the rounds. I remember it did come out at the beginning of this season, but now that she's in the finals, it's getting much more attention, you know? And so we thought we'd play the entire thing for you. I hope you enjoyed it.
I had not seen it before today, so I am happy it's making a second round. And I think that maybe they should put out a new version for Christmas.
Okay. I'm not sure if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but...
L-S-2 Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol.
We'll see if they do it. We'll see if they take Pace Case's advice here and have that Christmas smash hit.
It's another one for the deathbed slideshow for us.
Yeah. My deathbed slideshow is... it's something. I can tell you that much. One thing that will certainly be on it is the finale of Traitors Season 2, which you can now check out in Clues Corner on our Patreon. I'm going to be beginning almost immediately Traitors Season 1 in Clues Corner, probably next week.
I can't wait.
I'm going to start covering that one.
I was going to start Season 1, and I was just like,
"Yeah,
no, I got to wait for the corner."
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know that that one has a mix of reality superstars and civilians, so I'm kind of curious to see how that goes. I just don't think that is ever going to happen again, because... No. Season 2 was so big, like, that's the mold.
Because they'll have too many celebrities who want to do it. Why would you cast a civilian?
Exactly. But nonetheless, check out everything we got going on in our Patreon, especially the Palapa, especially the Corner. And we are now going to begin this program as we begin it every week with...
Game of Roses. State of the Game.
Speaking of Clues Corner, I just did a Clues Corner Wednesday night of this week, a couple days ago, of the Love is Blind Season 6 reunion.
How was it?
It was the best reunion show of anything I've ever seen. It was incredible.
Wait, what? Of anything you've ever seen?
Yeah.
No.
The attention to legacy. They had... so many of the successful couples, not only there and present, but sitting in front of the live studio audience and kind of on these little like pedestals. They were giving them their proper due. They were
elevated,
having them read questions from viewers, like Twitter questions to the current cast on Season 6. They were having them weigh in on their opinions in certain situations. It was just like very well done. I had a couple little bones to pick here and there. They were on their high horse a little bit about like for the wrong reasons versus for the right reasons. And they were like, at one point, Jess is like talking to Jimmy and she's like, "You did an interview where you said, I got a good edit, That wasn't an edit. It was really me." And then they proceed to, they proceed to literally edit into the show an entire clip package that corroborates and supports her argument against Jimmy. They literally edited a new piece of media specifically to give her a good edit as she's claiming she got no such thing. So there was a little bit of that, you know, kind of like, "Hey, this isn't a TV show. Now everybody, a big round of applause for your favorite TV stars. This isn't a TV show though." They were doing that a little too much in my opinion. But the big takeaway from this is this season of Love is Blind, Love is Blind obviously has changed the reality TV dating landscape massively since its inception. This season, though, was the most watched season so far in the history of the show. And it is a massive juggernaut now in a way that it hasn't been prior. And even prior, it still was.
So I feel like one part of this is that they had such a disaster last season. just as Bachelor kind of had these bubble seasons that mm-hmm. were people did not like.
Yeah.
And for them to come back as the best for Bachelor in a long time, for Love is Blind ever, mm-hmm. I feel so grateful to be living in this year in terms of reality content.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And I think that this kind of push and pull of Bachelor and Love is Blind that has really been going on since Love is Blind came out, since season one, which is now 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Love is Blind was on top. I think culturally, it was the more important show. Now I think Bachelor has kind of taken that spot again through Golden and through Grazie. But I wanted to look at some numbers in the state of the game, because at their cores, both of these shows claim to help you find your soulmate. That's what they are. The fact that we have TV cameras on it is just, that's almost an accident. We didn't even know. TV cameras just showed up. We were just running an experiment.
It was just like a documentary.
Yeah. We just want to help people find soulmates. Yes, of course, we do make billions of dollars for giant corporate greed machines in the process. And we do have to make, in quotes, good TV. But that's all incidental. Nonetheless, the raw numbers of this, in terms of success of premise, was interesting to me. Because they highlighted this last night. Mm-hmm. I watched the recap last night. As we're recording this, I know there's one day difference. I always get mixed up on the math of this. The show will come out on Friday, but I recorded the recap on Wednesday night, the Clues Corner.
Okay.
At any rate, Love is Blind comes out and they said, we have had 12 couples get married in 6 seasons of the show, 9 of whom are still together. The 9 that are still together are season 1's Cameron Hamilton and Lauren Speed, Hamilton now, Matt Barnett and Amber Pike, also from mm-hmm. that season. Nobody from season 2.
That's your Sean Lowe and Catherine Lowe.
Basically, yeah.
Cameron and Lauren.
Season 3, we have Brennan and Alexa Lemieux. We have Matt Bolton and Colleen Reed. Season 4, we had Brett Brown, Tiffany Pennywell, of course, Kwame Appiah and Chelsea Griffin, Zach Goitowski and Bliss Parizade Goitowski. Season 5, we have Milton.
I saw some great Kwame face play.
Oh my God. Everybody's face play was exploding on the reunion. We also had Milton Johnson from season 5 with Lydia Velez Gonzalez. That one was shocking to me. I'm like, they're still together? Okay.
That is shocking.
And then, of course, this season, season 6, we have Johnny McIntyre and Amy Cortez. Now, Bachelor has had 48 combined seasons of Bachelor and Bachelorette, plus 9 BIP. I don't know if you want to throw in Love is Blind and Winter Games. I kind of don't, so I didn't. So we have 57 total seasons is what I consider Bachelor to be comprised of. And of those 57 seasons, 24 couples are still together. Now, it is a different format than Love is Blind. Love is Blind has the potential for multiple couples to come out of every season, whereas in Bachelor and Bachelorette, you literally only have the potential of one couple coming out of that season and lasting. Paradise gives you a little more mix and match. You can have multiple couples coming out of it. But I would argue that, you know, Bachelor is like hitting a little below 500 here. Just under 50% of their seasons
mm-hmm.
statistically would have produced a couple. Whereas Love is Blind is hitting way over 1,000. They've got 9 couples out of 6 seasons. More couples than they have seasons.
But you can only have one possible couple in a season in Bachelor.
Exactly. So I think just in terms of premise, or like proof of concept, it does seem like Love is Blind is way better than Bachelor in terms of hooking you up with your soulmate.
Mm.
That said,
I mean, there's probably a lot of reasons for this, but I would imagine the location one is a really important part of that. That it is city, usually the people are in the same city or a close driving city, as it sometimes turns out. Because I feel like the starting a relationship from the distance is like, it's hard.
But it's also the...
Even with the watch back, it's a lot.
The construction of the systems of each of these is drastically different in terms of how much you actually get to know the person.
Yeah, they're spending way more time with the person.
Yeah. By the time you get to the finals of Bachelor, you've maybe spent 18 to 20 hours total.
24 total hours.
With yeah. that person. By the time you're at the altar with the Love is Blind people, you've spent, I don't even know, tens of hours minimum in the pods, just talking to a person that you can't see. Then you're literally with them 24 hours a day for a week when you're doing the honeymoon phase. Then you're living with the person for a couple of weeks. they give you a much more, I think, a much more accurate ability to like see who this person is.
See what it would like to live with that person.
And I think that that's a big reason for it.
So you're saying love is blind.
I mean, it can be, I guess.
I mean, it sounds like it is. Sounds like you can really fall in love for longevity if you're not looking at the person's face.
But that said,
getting tricked.
That said, you know, in terms of praising the love is blind process or whatever, we also saw in this reunion, they bring Trevor back out, who has been, you know, accused
maligned
of having a girlfriend outside the show and essentially telling that girlfriend, I'm going into the show, but I won't get married and I'll come out and be with you. We've all seen the DMs. They threw those DMs up on the screen.
What?
Yes. And he had to sit there while they read them.
They put the receipts.
And then he had to answer for it.
What did he say?
Not much. He basically just apologized and said he was a toxic person and he knows it and he's working on it and blah, blah, blah. And they used it as a kind of like, how dare you besmirch the sanctity of this process? And now let me introduce Micah Lussier. Izzy Zapata.
They put in two people who had dated each other last season. Come on.
Of course. And that's the problem that I had with the reunion is this just smug. They've got both the Dark Lords sitting up there on their thrones, just smugly saying like, this is about finding love. How dare you do this? And then in the same breath, they're like, and also Jess Vestal will be on season two of Perfect Match. It's the most watched Love is Blind ever.
Which is why we're giving her this edit in this episode.
Yeah. So it's a little high on its own supply in that regard. And we still are in this era, at least with Love is Blind, where there is no acknowledgement that this is a TV show that we are all watching for entertainment. They really were treating it like multiple players were saying, like, watching the show is like therapy to me. And no. They're treating it like this show is somehow saving romance.
Like a scientific experiment therapy.
Yes.
Thing.
And it simply isn't. We all know that it's a reality show. And I was very surprised that nobody used that as a defense. There were a couple people who were attacked on for the wrong reasons accusations. None of them were like, it's a TV show.
I thought Sarah had said that.
She said it in a TikTok and they brought that TikTok up. They played it. And Nick Lachey is like, now what did you mean by this?
And they demonized the TikTok?
Yes. And she had to backtrack and be like, I was just trying to get people to stop coming for me online. But in my opinion, she should have been like, hey, it's a fucking show, dude. How do you guys pay your mortgage? What kind of house do you live in, Lachey's? You're going to be paying that with a fucking love experiment money?
Invoke the Dark Lord's dwelling? Oh, my.
Yes, I would invoke the Dark Lord's dwelling. I would look right at Jess Vestal and be like, if it's not a TV show, why did you go on the spinoff?
You think they're going to include doxing the Dark Lords in the edit?
If that's all you give them, if they fucking attack you for your TikTok and all you give them is a counterattack, what they cut me out of the show then. Go fuck yourself. That part of the reunion enraged me.
I have been kidnapped. Take me to the My Flight.
That part of the show enraged me. They also did more like petty food shit at the very end. They had like this big spread of food when it ends and they all stand up and go pretend to eat. And it's just like, come on. Geez.
The eating was overwhelming this season.
Yes. And that was just them being like, we do feed people.
Which is fine. Like they're going back in the other direction. They're trying to be like, we're definitely letting people eat.
They are still in their petty producers control everything, fuck these players phase. Mm-hmm. They're going through it better than Bachelor did. That's for sure. Because they, like I said, they are treating these legacy players well.
You don't think the Lacheys are like doing a bunch of drugs and banging the players like early seasons of Bachelor?
Not at all. Because the Lacheys have something that like Chris Harrison didn't have in the early seasons. Nick Lachey specifically was the front man for a popular boy band for about a year. That band 98 Degrees was like as big as NSYNC or New Kids on the Block or whatever for a minute, for like a very brief window. You know, they had one or two songs that were like in the top 10. During that period of his life, I think he was doing all of that. I think he was doing the drugs and the banging then. Now he's an old man and he's like, holy shit.
A reformed F-boy.
Exactly. He's like, I got that out of my system. Now I understand what the gravy train is and I've latched onto a good one and I'm not going to fuck that up.
And her name is Vanessa.
Well, yeah. I mean, her too.
She's so good.
There was something that happened in this reunion that was historically incredibly important. And it was this. When you're looking out into the audience where they have the legacy players sitting at their tables, the various couples, Kwame and Chelsea, mm-hmm. Brett and Tiffany, one of them sitting in the very front.
They're sitting on pillars. I got to look at what this looks like.
They're sitting at like little tables, basically. It's almost like set up like a Golden Globes or something. And they're like the esteemed guests. So one of these tables is Giannina Gabelli, who was from season one of Love is Blind. And she is sitting next to one Belakai Blake Horstman, front and fucking center. They put them in front of the other couples because I guess Giannina is pregnant maybe, mm-hmm. but some other people were too, and they didn't put them front and center. So at any rate, it's Giannina and Blake.
Because she's one of the most famous people from the show ever.
Yeah, I think she's got 2 million IG.
I mean, no one has left a wedding like she left a wedding.
God, I know.
I'm sorry, and I want to see people escalating it.
Yeah.
You get the victimization, you burn it all down. You get mess on that dress. You're never wearing that dress again anyway.
I agree with you. But they got him sitting there and they throw to them and they say, Giannina, the Dark Lords, you're pregnant. And who's this sitting with you? Introduce. Oh, this is Blake. He's my, we've been together for whatever. They're not married yet, but we've been together for a couple years now. And no. They met on a show that was called The Beach All-Stars or something. It was an MTV show that was kind of like a precursor. It was like, it is a third wave show, but it's a shitty one because it was like all MTV blank shore celebrities and then Blake Horstman and her.
Yes. All-Star Shore.
All-Star Shore, right.
When we were researching this, I learned about all of the shores. I had no idea there were so many shore shows.
Yeah.
And the only person I could recognize was there was one Love Island guy and one of the people from Jersey Shore, which I'm assuming yeah. must be the original.
Jersey Shore was the original, the OG. Yeah. But they met on one of these third wave shows. Not a good one, I don't think. I mean, it never got a lot of attention or anything, but they met on that show, fell in love, and now he is the father of her unborn child. And they were there and they never said Bachelor. They never allowed Horstman to say, I'm from the Bachelor franchise. But it's there. You can feel it. You can simply feel it. And this was historic.
He's got some red roses behind him. They're not trying to hide it.
Yeah, they're not trying to hide it, but they're not trying to say it either. They're not going to give another franchise that amount of power. But
right.
It's historic because this is the first time a Bachelor player has been on record in the document in Love is Blind. I don't think it'll be the last, but he broke the ice, so to speak, the seal. So that was interesting to watch. But I just think that it can't be understated the impact that Love is Blind is having on all of this, the reality dating kind of game world. And I think it is making Bachelor up its game. You're seeing a lot of things change mm-hmm. in the season of The Bachelor in terms of the visual presentation that are mimicries of Love is Blind and in some cases, even elevations of it. I do think Love is Blind now looks old. It looks dated to me when I like this whole season six.
Well, the reunion looks nice. I would say Women Tell All could use some of this.
Yes.
Elevate the chairs. Don't make them look so much like they're still in a rose ceremony.
I totally agree with you. I think their tell-alls, look, like I said, I think this reunion show was the best kind of live studio tell-all after the final rose type thing that I've ever seen. It was just shot so well. And even despite the players being, you know, 8-ish months removed from all of the drama we just watched in the season, they still brought it. They were still getting in fights with each other. Like it was very fiery and I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, I'm excited.
And you could even see, you know, like Michael Lucia, any of these players from prior seasons, they're watching this, these people yelling at each other and they're cutting to their reactions and they are blown away by it. And you even get some players like saying things like, oh shit, I'm only a couple of years out of this, but our season wasn't like this, wasn't this crazy. And what you're starting to see is the elevation of reality stars now.
Evolution of the game.
People understanding, I can go on there and get famous and that's why I'm doing it. And you even saw it explicitly with Trevor. That's why he did it. He didn't admit to that, but like, what else would it be, you know?
I mean, what else are all of them? Like, I am getting tired of 4TRR. I know it's like our number one rule, et cetera, but it just feels like we're gaslighting ourselves when we're saying that these people are like for the right reasons. Like, okay.
I agree with you. It's really pro wrestling in the 80s when the WWF like was like, nope, it's all real. All these wrestling matches are real. And then it wasn't until the late 80s that they came out and were like, okay, look, we're insulting your intelligence now. Yes, the outcomes are scripted, but what those guys do in the ring is still incredible entertainment. And that's what we want to do. We want to entertain you. Mm-hmm. WWF did that.
I thought that Traitors reunion demonstrated it more than anything, of just like the gamers interpreting it differently and the Housewives taking a more of a moralistic stance, because that's what you do in Housewives reunions.
That's their game. That's like, you know, asking somebody who's a practitioner of judo not to do a hip throw.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Anyway.
I think about that all the time.
That's the state of the game. Love is Blind Season 6 has concluded. Season 7 is already shot in the can. Traitors has concluded. I'm going to be going back and doing Traitors Season 1, like I said, on Patreon. But we are in this era where now every one of these shows that's coming out, I think, is massively influencing where we're about to go in the future. And Love is Blind Season 6, at least in my mind, is going to be revered as kind of a turning point in all of this shit, because you had Blake on stage, because you saw everything that transpired through this, because you had Trevor coming in with these receipts of telling his girlfriend at the time, like, don't worry, I won't get married, I'll come out of this and we can still be together. That's like a professional player, you know?
Jed Wyatt.
Exactly, Jed Wyatt. I just think things are about to change in a fantastic way. I think these shows are going to be forced to embrace the reality star nature of what they are. As we're talking about with Maria, she has to be the next Bachelorette. She is a reality star.
And Queen Phaedra of Traitors recognizes that. And that's why she is in the parasocial plays this week, which we will get to.
And Pilot Pete, if you're listening, you have right now an incredible opportunity. And I know a lot of doors are opening for you in various capacities to go on other shows, to come back on Traitors, to come back for Traitors All-Stars, which will probably be in like 2 years or whatever. But there's another opportunity. There's another path for you here. Hear me out. Maria is the Bachelorette, and Pilot Pete, you crash her season. You come in episode 3 and you stick around to at least Fantasy Suites. I think that there is a massive opportunity for you here to maybe tack on another 1 million Instagram followers.
100%. Ride the wave. Ride the Traitors wave back to Bachelor. Maria is, I mean, his physical type. His runners-ups were both white women with brown hair. And I think that would be, I mean, people are obsessed with Popeye's, you know, second wind. I think we got to get Bachelors in the City back. I think we got to get him on back on Bachelor.
He needs to do some kind of a podcast immediately. I agree.
We can manifest this, I think. If Blake Moynes can crash Katie's season, Popeye can crash Maria's.
I'm trying to right now. And then imagine being the Bachelor again after that. Pull a Vial.
Oh my God.
Double dip it. I don't know. May or may not happen. But we are at a very interesting time in all of this, all reality TV shows, but specifically the ones we love, all of our dating games. I just think that we are about to witness something in the next couple of years that is going to be magic. We're already starting to see it. Like, what is 29 going to be like? You know, Bachelor 29, I mean.
Let's just talk about what Traitors is. It is gorgeous. It is reality TV, but there is a heavily scripted nature and a heavily theatrical nature. And I'm talking about Dark Lord coming. The outfits, the costumery, the turns of phrases. It is an elevation of reality TV into a heightened game. And I am obsessed, and I'm disappointed when I see these basic suits. Elevate it. Go crazier. Go full Hunger Games guy.
The thing about Traitors 2 that none of these other shows have, and I think why it was so successful, is it puts reality television on a pedestal. It treats it with respect. Even these other things, like we're talking about, like the Shore All-Stars or All-Star Shore or whatever, where Blake met Giannina. It's just a bunch of people from the different Shores TV shows, and then Blake Horseman and Giannina Gibelli. Traitors is something different.
It's all Shore people.
Yeah, and it's like, who cares? And it's on MTV. It's like, we've already seen all these people on your other shows. Traitors is saying, we take people from every reality TV discipline at the top of their fucking games and throw them in here.
Best of the best.
It respects them all. It's not shitting on anything. It's not cutting corners. They have a good budget. They put them in nice clothes. They put them in nice settings. They display them in a manner that is, I think, reverential toward them, instead of like what Paradise does, where they are making you get constipated, sleep in an unconditioned palapa, and then have a doctor come to pull turds out of your asshole.
Oh my God, the poop clock. What did that poor woman do to deserve the poop clock?
Could you imagine a poop clock in Traders? Fuck no.
No.
You don't even know. If somebody has problems shitting on Traders, you're never going
to
know it.
We never hear one mention of where they go to the bathroom. I've never thought about it. And
exactly.
Now I am.
But that's it. That's the state of the game. We are moving on to some big and very interesting things in the very near future.
Manifesting Popeye on Maria's season. I actually think Daisy would be a good trader.
Maybe.
Just putting that out there.
It's totally possible.
Like if Bergy, it would be like if Bergy were a traitor.
He might have been good too. We may never know. Or maybe we will. Maybe they'll come back.
He's still with his Love Island ring winner.
Oh, nice. Congrats to Bergy. And congratulations to us all as we move on to
This Week in
Game.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire. They don't have bulky fabrics. And they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you.
Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their
They have a traditional deodorant stick too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH-balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES. All right, we're starting out, Gaines, as we always do with the ratings from this week of our beloved game. This was, of course, Sex Week. Not the conclusion of Sex Week, just the beginning. We're going to see the conclusion coming up next week. What is in that conversation that Kelsey A is going to have with Grazi after the card delivery? Nonetheless, this week maintained a 0.68 rating. Now, it's a slight dip from last week, which was a 0.69, but inconsequential. And of course, it dominated all of the network offerings. It also had the most raw viewers all season with 3.7 million. That actually went up from 3.6 last week.
Let's go. Bachelor Raw era.
But NBC was in second place with The Voice at a 0.48. CBS had The Neighborhood at a 0.38. And Fox Master Chef Jr. was a 0.23. So Bachelor is absolutely crushing everyone else on Monday nights.
In part because of the show's lead this year, Joey Graziadei, our current crown, he gained 86.2K on Instagram this week for a total of 554K Instagram followers. A little far away from that million Clues was predicting. And he gained 23.1K for a total of 138K followers on TikTok.
And the top five Instagram gains this week are Kelsey Anderson is in that top spot with 32K. She now has a total of 158K.
That's why you play that love level four on camera. Maria Gorgas gained 24K for her post swan song exit bump, coming to a total of 490K.
Daisy Kent is in third with a 23K gain for a total of 495K.
Big drop off here. Rachel Nance in fourth, gaining 3.5K for a total of 27.8K.
And Lexi Young is in that fifth place spot with a 1.7K gain for a total of 62.9K.
It's tough to see this low Rachel number, I gotta say. This is jarring that these are the top four numbers. 490K, 495K, 158K, and 27.8K.
Yes. This is essentially exactly what I was talking about.
I feel like she's getting glazed. Justin glazed.
Are you a reality star or not? That's kind of what this boils down to, in my opinion. Because Maria is second place on gains. She was eliminated last week. She wasn't even in the show this week.
Yeah.
And she's still gaining 24K. I think this is just people who are like, I need to see her as Bachelorette.
Post swan song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think this might be people voting between Maria and Daisy for Bachelorette.
I agree.
Now our top five Instagram chart, Daisy Kent stays in that top spot with 495K.
Friend of Vin Diesel. Maria Gorgas is close behind in second with 490K.
Kelsey Anderson's in third with 158K.
Jen Tran is in fourth with 77.5K.
Lexi Young rounds out the top five with 62.9K.
And on to the top five TikTok chart. We got Maria in the top spot here with 301.2K. She put on 24.7K this week alone.
Daisy Kent is in second with 275.9K. She gained 10.6K followers on TikTok this week.
Kelsey Anderson is in third place with 121.8K, gaining 27.8K this week.
That's the biggest gain. Fourth place, Kira Brush, 120.5K.
And Star Skylar's in fifth with 77.1K.
It's just there's some night one and week two and week three players. Just you're not going to beat them at this point because you have to have bigger gains. And speaking of gains, I've been making some gains in my personal health with AG1. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why I've been drinking AG1 every day. It's just a simple one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day. And it makes me feel focused, nourished, strong, ready to take on the day. Each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit, and it's also powerfully simple.
You are looking strong, ultimate Viking style. With AG1, I'm giving my body high-quality nutrition. Every batch of AG1 goes through rigorous testing process so you know it's safe, and their ingredients are sourced for absorption, potency, and nutrient density.
And you know you're getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with AG1 because of the vitamins, the probiotics, the nutrients. They're all from whole foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of every day.
I like to drink AG1 right in the morning, one scoop in water, stir it up, ready to go. I know I'm getting my daily nutrients, the first thing I do every day, and it's so easy.
If there's one product we can recommend to elevate your health, it is AG1. That's why we partnered with them. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1, try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/roses. That's drinkag1.com/roses. Check it out. And now, let's move on to all those tids that are fit to print.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
Shal Crank played a massive IFI this week. During a trip to Dubai, the season 27 ring winner, Katie Bigger, and Nepo nephew, Zach Shallcross, face a harrowing ordeal. Bigger fell ill with a stomach bug, severely dehydrated, and desperate for relief. She sought an IV treatment at their hotel's clinic. Amid the procedure, Shal Crank cracked his head after witnessing Katie's distress and fainting. The incident led to Zach being rushed to the hospital after noggin bonking the cement floor and losing consciousness. Luckily, tests confirmed no brain bleeding. Despite the scare, the king and queen of Bachelor season 27 recovered well from the ordeal.
I'm glad they're okay. That is scary.
You ever passed out like that?
Yeah.
Me too.
You know where I did? The pleasure chest. I've told you this story.
Oh my God.
It's a sex toy shop. If you have, I don't remember it.
That's fucking insane. Oh, I'm like 50-50.
I'll tell that story sometime.
Every time I got to get, I go in for cancer shit, you know, they always like have to inject me or draw blood or some shit, and I'm terrible with needles. Mm-hmm. I'm like 50-50 on that. I pass out about half the time. Yeah. Sometimes just seeing the needle is enough.
You shouldn't look. I never look. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, the bee-dimpled, steak-loving enemy of shirts, Tyler Cameron, will be returning to your television screen very soon. The co-champion of Special Forces, World's Toughest Test Season 2, and runner-up of Bachelorette Season 15 is set to star in a new home renovation series for Prime Video called Going Home with Tyler Cameron. The show premise features COVID party promoter moving back to his Florida hometown to follow his dream of starting his own construction and home reno company.
The official log line for the new show reads, quote, after the sudden loss of his mother, Tyler moved back to his hometown, Jupiter, Florida, to reunite with his family and finally achieve his goal of launching his business, Image One. With the help of his team members, house flipping expert Rob Rich and Miami-based interior designer Jessica Quintero, Tyler builds his company from the ground up, exceeding his clients' expectations one home renovation at a time.
The series will also feature some all-stars from the nation, including former Wake Forest football teammate and season 25 Bachelor Matt James and his ring winner Rachel Kirkconnell, business master of the nation Jason Tardik, and the beast herself Hannah Brown.
All 8 episodes of the docuseries will debut on the streamer on April 18th, and I will be covering at least a few of these episodes in Clues Corner. I don't know if I can stomach this whole show, but I gotta look.
I can't not. Just two things. One, the poster for this show. This is the worst picture I've ever seen of Tyler Cameron.
Yeah, it looks heavily photoshopped.
What on earth?
Just bad. Bad at job.
They got Kate Middleton's guy for that one.
Oh, no. Not Kate Middleton's guy. I agree. I thought it was terrible. It's not fun or funny or interesting in any way. It's very bad.
Well, I do think that it is funny.
It's funny because it's bad. That's, yeah.
Wait, let me read the tagline. Bachelor, builder, businessman. That reminds me of that Dwight on The Office when he's like, bears, beets, and he's like naming words that start with B.
They did it.
Bachelor, builder, businessman.
He was never a bachelor, by the way.
Well, I think they call all of them bachelors on The Bachelorette, technically.
It's fucking false advertising. I'm going to sue. They used to.
They don't anymore.
That's right.
They've elevated it. Speaking of elevating, up next in Bachelor Nation news, Bachelor Season 24 Survivor. Oh, Jesus. Sydney Hightower and her husband, NFL star Fred Warner, welcomed their first child into our dying world last week, taking to Instagram to write, Beau Anthony Warner, 03/07/24, the best day of our lives.
Alongside the announcement, Sydney shared a photo of herself, Fred, and their son sharing a hospital bed. The post got replies from Jasmine Nguyen, who wrote, I love him so much. Big congrats, mama and papa. Watery eye emoji, blue heart emoji. Haley Ferguson chimed in saying, Bo, heart eye emoji times three. Congratulations to you and your family, blue heart emoji times three. And even God soldier Madison dead leg Hooju Pruitt commented, so beautiful. Congrats to Sydney and Fred.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, we've got a brand new dating show to get excited for. The F-Boy Island spinoff, formerly known as F-Girl Island, has undergone a rebrand as Lovers and Liars. The show will bring back FY Island Season 1's Casey Johnson, Season 2's Benedict Polizzi, and Season 3's CJ Weathers, who will serve as co-leads tasked with deciding who of the 24 women that join them are looking for love and who are just in it for the chance to win $100K. Dark Lord Nikki Glaser will return to render Dark Lording duties for the show, which premieres Thursday, April 11th at 9 p.m. Eastern on the CW, with a special preview airing on April 1st.
Looking forward to that one. I might check that out. Yeah, I might check that out in Corner. I might not. It all depends on how much time I can find. Speaking of time,
Casey and Benedict were both great players.
Absolutely. We're going to round out today's Bachelor Nation news with a little jaunt down memory lane. This week in Bachelor Nation history, 4 years ago this week, the historic announcement that the Beast, Hannah Brown, was going to be the season 15 Bachelorette took place during Colton Underwood's Bachelor season 23 finale.
The announcement was accompanied by footage of the Beast bursting into tears when she found out the news via FaceTime a few weeks prior.
The Beast had to be quick on her feet as she was surprised by five of her men coming out on stage and getting to meet her before they went to the mansion. It was Luke P, Dustin, Cam, Connor, and Luke S. They all got to make their first impression on Hannah live during that after the final rose. And Hannah handed out her very first rose to Cam. Remember that?
Always be Cam. ABC.
ABC.
And of course, the history of GOR is very directly tied to Hannah Brown's season, as we decided to do our very first episode as a recap of the sixth episode of Hannah's season. Thank you, Beast, for all you've done for us.
Indeed.
I love that the sixth episode, we were just like, this is it. We got to do it. Pull the trigger.
I mean, this, if I can, you know, take anything from that.
That inspired us.
It was a good decision to do that. Because I do think, you know,
obviously,
you can, in many like creative endeavors or any endeavors in life, I think it's like, it's easy to fall into the trap of like, well, I got to get everything ready first so that it like comes out and it's
has
good.
To be the start of a season.
Yeah, yeah, it has to make any sense whatsoever.
Has to be on a real microphone.
Yeah, but fuck it. You know, we just said, if we're going to start doing this, we need to start doing it. And really, especially with something like a podcast, the most important thing is to like get into the routine of doing it, and you'll get better at it, and you'll see what works and what doesn't. And you got to start that routine sometime.
It's best no one listens to those first few ones anyway.
Exactly. So thank you, Hannah Beast, for delivering a season that did inspire us to start this podcast in one way or another. Truly, I feel linked to her forever because of it.
She changed my life. I now have the best job ever.
Absolutely. Now let's move on to some other people who have great jobs as well in the parasocial arena. This is
the parasocial play of the week.
Sex week, fantasy suites week, saw some fantasy suites type parasocial plays. Bachelorette crown Charity Lawson and her ring winner Dotun Olubeko revealed some fantasy suites morning after portion tea. During an Instagram Q&A, a fan asked Charity if contestants were alerted before cameras entered the room. She reads this question to Dotun and he responded, "Hell no, they just pull up on your ass when you're discombobulated." Shaking his head, he goes, "They do not." Charity says, "Luckily, it's in the morning, so they're not walking in on a show. LOLOL." Charity also wrote, "Joey has been a phenomenal lead, arguably one of the best bachelors." And we concur.
Indeed. Next up in Parasocial Plays of the Week, haters gonna hate. Despite what in our mind is the lowest volume of villain edits we've had in many seasons, the level of online vitriol has done what the internet does and finds a way. Rivalry player Sydney received a high volume of hate earlier this season, but now we're seeing a hate trend for finalist Rachel Nance in our Golden Crown, Lisa Fima. Rachel got it for her rivalry moment during Maria's Hail Mary and has since told haters to touch grass or plant or center yourself. Fima is getting some for her COC curse on Kelsey A.
Council of Crowns.
On Kelsey A, whom Kelsey A is defending parasocially.
Rachel Nance entered the parasocial rivalry with the trolls this week, lip syncing to the audio, "If you're going to hate me, that's fine, but you know, watch your mouth," and tucks her hair behind her ear. 67K likes and 1.1 million views. Let's go.
Untamed main player Kelsey A took to TikTok to respond to an internet troll, quote, "Y'all, I do not know what I did to this lady, but she comments like this on all my TikToks, and honestly, it's so funny." She explained before reading the internet warrior's comment, quote, "How come you don't cry on TikTok? Every episode of The Bachelor, you cry. I think that was so you'd get a rose. Lame." Kelsey sarcastically replied, "You caught me at," and puts her fucking handle in here, "at Lisa Here and Now's. You freaking caught me, you little dirty dog. I cried so I could get that rose, because that's what men love, is whenever you cry to them, when you're bawling, crying to them. I mean, that's my take on it. I love crying to men. They love that. It's not because I was talking and opening up about my dead mom and how much I miss her and how this process is hard on me," end quote. She clarified that her tears were genuine, stemming from personal struggles like her deceased mother, PTC. She acknowledges her number one hater, Lisa, with a lighthearted response expressing love and blowing a kiss. 71.1K likes and 974K views.
Absolutely hilarious.
By the way, I would also say in that Love is Blind reunion, there's a moment where Jess Vestal basically says that both Jimmy and Chelsea were just being like raked over the coals this season. And she was kind of a part of that love triangle. So she has come out and said parasocially, "Leave them alone." So you're getting basically a victim in that case saying, "Don't fuck with the villains. It wasn't their fault," which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I would say we're seeing people pretty quick to do it. I mean, we see this every year, but I just would have thought it would have maybe gone down this season, but no.
Yeah.
Obviously not. And next up, we have a joint play by Caitlin Bristow and Jared Hybon. They lip sync to each other to the popular trending sound, "Where have you been? Nobody knows me like you do." And they dramatically interpretive dance. And we see them both ignoring Ashley Iaconetti, who does 3 seconds of scene-stealing grimace face play. The caption reads, "When you haven't seen the guy you friend-zoned in years." Did you catch Ashley and Jared on the pod? 32K likes, 1.8 million views on Instagram, 16K likes on TikTok with 358K views.
All these were strong plays. However, there can be only one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to, hopefully, your next bachelorette, Maria Gorgas. She posted both an interview about being grateful for being in the conversation of Bachelorette as well as an Instagram story with the queen of the traders, Phaedra Parks, posing on a carpet at a DirecTV event where there were some other reality celebrities there as well. Simply say that.
Starting some conspiracy towns.
Hey, look, this ain't no conspiracy.
I keep my bags packed 24/7.
Yes. Events like that are where shit starts getting done, where arrangements are made.
That's the room where it happens.
Where deals are struck. That's where that shit starts.
Gotta be in the room where it happens. The room where it happens.
That's right.
The DirecTV event.
No, DirecTV was smart in this to have this, to do this event.
It is. I mean, I want to see all these people together. I screamed when I saw this.
Yeah, I agree.
I would have put it in the main grid.
I agree. There were some other plays as well, parasocially. We're talking about ones that humans weren't making. We're talking about ones that creatures were making with one Blake Moynes. He's in the Baja Peninsula right now, working with the Nakawe Project for Global Conservation. And right now, his entire story is loaded with dolphins, seals, pelicans, horses, all kinds of creatures. It is a creature hurricane on the Moynes Instagram story right now. And for that reason, all of the Moynes story creatures are our parasocial creatures of the week. Moynes is just out there. Creature lifestyle.
I love it. It's like our Crocodile Dundee. We also, there were no creatures we could find. And I was like, oh my gosh, the creatures are hiding. They're underground this week. And then I got to Blake Moynes Instagram story and couldn't believe it. Couldn't have been more creatures.
I've never seen that many creatures in a story, that many different creatures shot so beautifully, cared for so lovingly. Thank you, Moynes, for all that you do for the creatures of the world.
And congrats on your award.
Yeah, and congrats on this prestigious award. Now we must move on to that portion of our program in which we dive deep into the dark waters of the pit. And we issue forth our screams about how our fandom of this show, and now all shows really, has changed our lives drastically. This is
Screams from the Pit!
I did it.
Oh?
I completed 18 seasons of Sister Wives.
Oh my God.
I set out this mission this past fall and it only took me, what, like 6 months? But I did it.
Was this a hyper binge or a pleasure binge?
This was a pleasure binge.
Congrats.
Full pleasure, didn't palapa a single second.
Wow.
And it is a scream though, because I feel like all of these have come from my Bachelor obsession.
Sure. Yeah.
And it also is like such a high volume. It's almost like a Love Island season or something in terms of total hours. But my parasocial relationship with the one husband and the four wives, couldn't be stronger.
Yeah.
And seeing all of their kids grow up and all this stuff, you become very attached.
Mm-hmm.
And there was recently a tragedy, trigger warning, suicide for 5 minutes. One of the women's sons died by suicide this week. And I was watching the last finale, which was a wedding special, and everyone was there and like having fun. And like, I was literally sobbing.
Jesus.
I couldn't, like, it was like devastating. I'm like, I don't know this person. They weren't like a starring character on the show. But you can't think that the show doesn't like somehow have something to, you know, factor in and like,
of course,
basically spoiler for the whole series. Him with four wives goes down to him with one wife at the end.
Holy shit.
They all pretty much leave him in the last couple seasons. So yeah, it was a real journey. And yeah, that's my scream. Sad scream.
Congratulations on making it through that.
I hope they're okay.
I mean, I'm sure they will be as okay as any of us are on this rock hurtling through space a million miles an hour to nowhere. Speaking of...
to nowhere.
What I've decided to do with my time on this rock is, how should I put it? Expansion, I suppose is right. I've been coaching players to infiltrate our beloved game for the last 3 seasons, and I've been very successful at it. What I have learned from it and what I'm seeing opening up with Third Wave Reality TV is that that's just the start. Getting on The Bachelor, getting on Love is Blind, getting on any of these shows is just the start. I see the larger game now unfolding before me.
So you're admitting that the social media is part of the game?
Social media is not part of the game, no.
Yes, it is.
The game is being in the document of any of these other games. There is a meta game being played that is played across all of the games. There is a parasocial game that's being played that is both independent of and attached to all of the games within the metagame.
The parasocial game is the game.
I simply don't agree. Because if you look, let's take Pilot Pete as an example. His parasocial game has, in my opinion, since leaving Bachelor, not been that great. He's hemorrhaged a bunch of followers. He had to close his...
All leads hemorrhage followers.
I mean, you know, you can justify what I'm about to say however you like. He had to close his podcast. He's not getting as much SpawnCon. Yet, he goes on Traitors, another actual documented game, and fucking explodes. Didn't do hardly anything for his Instagram. That show, by the way, Traitors, the Instagram gains, don't exist. No one went up from it. And yet, it's a giant success on that show. And it will...
What about Alan Cumming?
His has gone up a little bit, but not anything. Bachelor Data did a post on this. Go check it out. I was shocked by it. I was like, Jesus, nobody got any gains at all from this.
That is shocking.
I think the biggest gain was like 3,000 or something over the course of it. And it was somebody who, it was like 3,000 into somebody who had 5 million already. At any rate, my scream is that now in these coachings that I'm doing, I'm not really looking at it as like, okay, how do we get you on The Bachelor or Love is Blind or whatever I'm coaching for? And make sure that you have a good run through that where you get what you want out of it, where you're not a villain or this or that. That to me is like secondary to looking at a person and saying, how can I make you a reality star who can have a career that spans multiple of these games so that you can go from here to here to here to here for the next 10 years maybe? Because I see that as a real thing happening now. And so in service of that, I've been, making charts. Making diagrams, doing mathematical calculations that probably really have no basis in anything except my mind. I feel like I'm going down a strange...
What kind of things are you calculating?
Probabilities mainly. Like if you play like this...
Of like what types do... Oh, what strategies?
Basically what strategies in what games can lead to like fame or like reality power. Essentially, like what Jess Vestal did this season on Love is Blind, for example.
What Jess Vestal did is like, I feel like she's setting a new precedent.
Yes.
I think this is going to be like...
I agree.
Whoever can get the biggest victimization at it. You don't even have to do any of the living with someone or going to a wedding.
She's at 780K, crushed everyone on her season, and will probably hit a million once she goes on Perfect Match, I would assume, and is, you know, dating Harry Jowsey. And that's really how it's done. And the proof is in the pudding there. I don't know why I'm continuing to talk about this. Like I've said this a million times, but this is my scream. I'm thinking about now is how do you pull a Jess Vestal? What are the magic ingredients there?
No, it's a good scream.
And yes, she's a talent, a reality talent to be sure. But there's something formulaic that she's doing. And I'm close. I'm close to getting the calculations.
I mean,
E equals MC reality.
Do you think it's the package deal? Do you think the package deal has nothing to do with it?
I think the package deal is a big part of it because it makes her essentially as same in Bachelor. Yeah. You're immune to any attacks because, you're a single mom. We have sympathy for you. It means that you love someone on a real level. You're like a more serious person, even though that doesn't necessarily have to be the truth.
Yeah, you're responsible for someone.
At any rate, that's my scream. I'm going down into deeper and deeper holes in service of my coaching services that
congrats on your holes.
Yeah. My goal really with it now is simply to create the biggest reality star that has ever lived.
What do you think you need? What's the raw material? What's your ideal like starting point?
My ideal starting point is somebody who is young-ish, early 20s, because I want them to have a career like into their 50s, basically, and just shape it through everything. I want somebody who can go... Ideally, what I would like is starting on Love is Blind. I think that's a good... That right now is the best entry point, I feel like.
Yeah.
Then I would like to pivot from Love is Blind, go on Perfect Match season 2, take whatever you get from there, hopefully get in a high profile relationship with somebody who has over 1 million Instagram followers, draft off that for 6 months, let your kinetic contract lapse, somehow come into Bachelor, have enough fame and power behind you that when you're like 26, you're now rookie in Bachelor, then you become Bachelorette at 27 or 28, then you do all of it. Dancing with the Stars, World's Toughest Test, Traitors, whoever, you know, what's going to exist after that, I don't know. But that's kind of the path now that I'm looking at is like
Santa Monica Shore.
Yeah. Somebody could weave through that. Like, I see the path through the system that exists now. And I know the mm-hmm. system is going to become more complex literally with every 6 month period.
It does feel like Love is Blind is the best entry yeah. point for sure. Best bang for your buck.
Absolutely. After watching Just Vestal, that's what I'm saying. She was barely in the show.
Yeah.
And she has more Instagram followers than anybody. She's immediately, they were like, you're on Perfect Match, right? You want to do that? Yes, I do. What does she do after this? Who the fuck knows? I think she'll be a massive reality star though. I guess you're getting her own show. That's another path in all of this. If you're big mm-hmm. enough, if you do something well enough, you can get your own show. Look at Tyler Cameron going home.
Bachelor boss, baby. No, bachelor builder. Businessman.
Bachelor builder. Builder, bachelor, businessman. Okay, let's move on. We have one more scream. Yes. This scream is going to come to us from our Discord. If you want to submit your own scream, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses, sign up, get in the pit, get on that Discord. There's a channel in it called Screams from the Pit. You can upload a 1 minute or shorter audio clip of your scream, and we play the most terrifying ones here. This one comes to us from Lycy Lou. We're going to play it for you now.
Pit, I come to you from my second pit, the pit of heartbreak. And here's my scream. I don't know in which pit I am deeper. Let me explain. I just ended a very complicated, intense, but very loving, pure, and passionate relationship. And by just, I mean this just happened this morning. And during this morning's incredibly painful ending, I saw a tear fall to his cheek, and I don't know what compelled me, but I leaned in, reached out my hand, and wiped away the tear Grazie style. This is something I have never done before, for anyone, not ever. So there I was, in the midst of losing someone for whom I've never felt such genuine love, thinking about my tear wiping play and all the commentary and criticism surrounding it and how I completely understood the sort of reaction because there I was doing the same thing. It felt so natural. And now, just mere hours after, here I am recording a scream about it. So seriously, which pit is deeper? Can you be deep in two pits? Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Sorry, you're deeper in the Bachelor pit than the Heartbreak pit.
Oh, 100%. 100%. There's no question.
I've never even done this. I wish I could. Not that I want someone to cry.
I have never done it either. I personally don't really like people touching my face from the mouth, nose, or eyes area. I'm okay with sides of the head.
Ears?
Forehead, that's fine. Ears, back of the head, fine. But once you get into the facial region, don't fucking touch my facial region.
What about thumbs?
What about them?
What if someone took your thumb to their own tear?
I mean, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of the wet thumb? Isn't the wet thumb meant to be like, look, I care about you. Let me wet thumb you.
Well, if you're looking at it that way.
Yeah. This is a very high level scream. To be in a moment of emotional turmoil, some kind of, you know, major life thing is happening
trauma.
To you. In this case, yeah. It's the end of a meaningful relationship. And for your first instinct to be to mimic the Bachelor's secret move, it doesn't get much deeper than that. When you are doing things in service of your fandom to this show in the kind of worst or best moments of your life, just any moments that are these.
And in your instincts.
Yeah.
Too.
Like you couldn't even help it. That means the dark energies of the pit have overtaken you. Welcome to one of the deepest levels. Let me know if you can decipher the formula for reality TV stardom, because I feel like you have to be in the deepest level for that to happen.
Yeah. Congrats on this really deep level of the pit. This is, I mean, inspiring. Yeah. But also, heartbreak feels good in a place like this. I think you at least have the pit to catch you in your heartbreak.
Oh, you just gave us a little Nicole Kidman. You know, this is a scream. This is a Nicole Kidman scream. Last time I was in a movie theater and they played that, which was maybe a week or two ago. If you don't know what we're talking about, at AMC movie theaters, they play this little thing before the movies. That's Nicole Kidman walking into an AMC movie theater, delivering this bizarro monologue yeah. about the importance of movies.
It's so funny.
And one of the lines in it is, somehow heartbreak feels good in a place like this, talking about the movie theater. I had a moment of genuine sadness at thinking about a near future where they're not going to play that anymore. Or they're going to make a new one, maybe.
Well, this might make you sadder. When I went recently, they have updated the ad so she doesn't say that line. And some people started booing.
They just cut that line out?
Yeah. And they updated the movie. It's like now Avatar. It's weird. You're like, we're going to play into it, but not for the thing that people love about it.
They're dumb. They should 100% make a sequel to it. They should do a new one with her or with another actor, maybe.
Yes. Using the exact same lines.
Maybe not even the same lines. Like, write an even crazier one, in my opinion. And get, like, Al Pacino to do it or something. Oh, boy.
Yeah, they toned it down. At least if you're going to get rid of that line, you should come back with something, like, even wilder. Like, I never leave the movie theater.
Unfortunately, the people who created that did it in earnest and didn't realize it was so bizarre and so bad. And I don't think they would be capable of making something like that again.
Yeah.
It's like the Tommy Wiseau effect with The Room.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's perfect cringe.
A magical, beautiful diamond.
Purified, perfected, beautiful cringe.
That we're so lucky to live at the same time. Anyway.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Dark Lord Kidman.
She would be a good Dark Lord. But all that aside, Pace Case, we got to wrap this show up. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back on Monday with a Digging Deeper. A lot of juicy clips in this one. You ain't gonna believe it.
You're saying Sudafried juicer?
Oh my God. It's nothing but juice.
Uh-oh.
It's pure juice. 100% pure raw juice. Squeezed by my own hands. It's unbelievable. So much Vial juice.
Okay,
in this juicer.
Now I want less juice, I think.
You can't have it. Sorry.
So much Vial. I would love if in response to that, Dave Neal did this great YouTube video about Nick Vial's response to fan podcasts and how they talk about him, which I imagine, I haven't watched your corner on it yet, but I imagine you had some great reactions too if we did an all clips of him episode.
We're going to have probably like 6 to 7 clips of Vial from 2 different Vial files.
Great.
In Monday's episode. So be sure to tune into that. But before we go, as always, Pace Case, what is that dwab at?
It's been 8,025 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in 3 Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back. No questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.